they don't think the Great Recession is actually over. This is ABC News.
It's hour number three, the Ron Owens program, and with Memorial Day weekend coming up, and especially with Monday as Memorial Day, this is a very good time to have Joshua Kors in the studio. He's an investigative reporter for The Nation. He covers military and veterans issues, and he earned national attention this year because he worked on uncovering a scandal involving veterans' benefit. Three-part series. It showed how the military doctors are purposely misdiagnosing soldiers who are wounded in Iraq. They label them mentally ill. Why? That way they don't get medical care. That way they don't get disability care. And it's not just one or two soldiers, is it?
No, it's not. It's good to be with you, Ron.
Thank you.
This is happening to thousands and thousands of soldiers. We have soldiers getting physically wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the military is purposely misdiagnosing them as having a pre-existing condition, personality disorder. Now, one would think that's absurd. How could these physical wounds be labeled as pre-existing conditions? I think everyone now from the healthcare wars knows what pre-existing means. It means you could get locked out of the health insurance industry. It's the same thing in the military. If they can link your injuries to a pre-existing condition, that means no medical care for the rest of your life, no disability benefits for the rest of your life. And one of the small print provisions of this personality disorder discharge that's particularly troubling is that soldiers who are wounded and diagnosed with this pre-existing condition, they have to give back a chunk of their signing bonus because they don't complete their contract. That means thousands and thousands of physically wounded soldiers on the day of their discharge are being presented a bill for several thousand dollars.
Which is just unconscionable. I mean, it's absolutely unconscionable, but let's go through this because you've really studied this very, very well. The military is just a huge term. Who in the military? Is it purely the medical corps? What kind of pressures are being put on them? Who, in essence, is responsible? From the one who first tells this soldier, I'm sorry, that was pre-existing, you don't qualify, all the way up to the person who's ordering all of this.
Well, I think the best thing to do is look at the specific cases. My investigative series started with specialist John Town, who was wounded by a rocket while serving in Ramadi, Iraq, won a Purple Heart for those wounds. Doctors pressured him to dismiss his deafness in the wake of that explosion as the result of a personality disorder. He won the Purple Heart, but yet they said he wasn't wounded. They shipped him back to Fort Carson, and that's when they let him know, no disability pay for the rest of your life, no long-term medical care, and by the way, here's a bill for $3,000.
You can't very well put the ear. I mean, I guess the way I'm looking at it is, if these are pre-existing conditions, as they claim they are, wouldn't they be discovered in the process? I mean, I've been through an Army physical, and you have bad, arches. You have arch feet or something like that.
Yes.
They won't let you in. So all of a sudden, here are these huge conditions, and they're saying, oh, no, they were pre-existing. How can that be possible?
It's ridiculous. It's not supposed to make sense. These soldiers, they go through several screenings. The most recent soldier I profiled, Sergeant Chuck Luther, he had gone through 8 screenings and passed each of them with flying colors. It was only after he was wounded by mortar fire and developed blindness that they discovered this pre-existing condition. In his case, it was a blow to the head in the wake of this mortar fire attack. They told him to sign off saying that his blindness and hearing loss was caused by pre-existing personality disorder.
Blindness by a personality disorder.
And of course, he looked at them like they were crazy. How could vision problems be the results of a personality disorder? But when he refused to sign off on the papers, they did something quite extraordinary. They put him in a closet and held him there for over a month under enforced sleep deprivation. This was at Camp Taji in Iraq. Enforced sleep deprivation, keeping the lights on all night, blasting heavy metal music at him all night. When he tried to escape the closet, they pinned him down, injected him with sleeping medication, and then returned him to the closet.
All because he would not sign.
He wouldn't sign it. And at the end of 30 days, he was willing to sign just about anything, and he did. He was brought to his commander's office, and the commander said, you sign here. and we'll ship you back to Fort Hood. He did that. They brought him back to Fort Hood, and that's when he found out the stunning repercussions of that discharge. No disability pay.
A bunch of questions come from this. First of all, did anything ever happen to his torturers?
No. In fact, the doctors that pushed for the diagnosis of pre-existing personality disorder, their careers are flourishing. One, in fact, is now working at a joint military and university program to teach other medical professionals how to diagnose mental illnesses.
Then I go back to the other aspect of it, which I had mentioned before. I mean, how high up does this go? It's obviously the result of pressure. I cannot imagine anybody in the military, if they had their option, denying medical care to somebody who genuinely needs it, or denying or claiming that there's a pre-existing condition when there's not, unless there's a huge amount of pressure. And if so, how high up does it go? Where does it come from?
That's exactly the case. In part two of my series, I interviewed military doctors who talked about the pressure on them to purposely misdiagnose wounded soldiers. One told me the story of a soldier that came back with a chunk missing from his leg. His superiors pressured him to diagnose that as personality disorder.
Now, his superiors had to be ordered by other superiors. I mean, does it go all the way up to, let's say, the Secretary of Defense?
It's a great question. I think everyone in this scandal, veterans groups, the soldiers who've been affected and their families, they're all looking for the smoking gun. How high does this go? And in the course of this series, I've been working on this investigation for 3.5 years now, and a lot of smaller smoking guns have come out. For example, a top doctor at a VA in Texas writing an internal email to the doctors under her command saying, look, we just don't have the money to diagnose the injuries that are coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan. Let's push for a pre-existing condition, get them out the side door fast and cheaply.
Investigative reporter for The Nation, Joshua Kors, is here. Not what you want to hear right before Memorial Day, but actually very important to hear. Stay with us. 808-0810 if you'd like to join us in a discussion. 808-0810. Ron Owens, KGO, 1115. Ron Owens, KGO Radio, talking with Joshua Kors, and we're talking about this pattern. Injuries are suffered during the war, and then the military turns around and blames it on pre-existing conditions. Quick question before I go to the phones. Is there one branch of the military where it's more pervasive than others?
No, there really isn't, and that's part of the scary aspect of this. You see this in all branches. Since 2001, 22,600 soldiers have been diagnosed with this personality disorder, saving the military over $12.5 billion in disability and medical care.
Well, has there been a difference in terms of the presidents? If we don't go to the Secretary of Defense, let's go to the top and start there. Has it been any different under Clinton, under Bush, under Obama?
I wish I could say that's the case, but Obama, it's interesting. He's been at the center of this scandal in a completely different way. He understood that 22,600 soldiers are facing this lifetime of no disability pay and no medical care. And he tried to step in. He put forward a bill, along with Republican Senator Kit Bond, to halt personality disorder discharges.
Now, obviously, that was when he was in the Senate, not as president.
That's right.
Okay.
Then Senator Obama. Yeah. And that made him both a hero and a disappointment to so many soldiers around the country. A hero because, of course, he recognized this problem when no one else had their eye on it. But a disappointment because so many veterans groups thought that in the course of his run for the presidency, he would be able to highlight this issue and highlight his bill to stop these fraudulent discharges. But he never said a word about it. And not even now from the White House.
Hasn't done anything about it either.
Hasn't done anything and hasn't said a word. And so what ended up happening to that bill, with so little understanding of personality disorder discharges, Obama and Bond had to water down the bill and put it into an amendment, which was part of a spending bill signed by President Bush. That amendment called for the Pentagon to study personality disorder discharges, but not halt them. And 6 months later, a report landed on Obama's desk. The Pentagon's conclusion that not a single soldier had been wrongly diagnosed and not a single soldier had been wrongly discharged. Baran, I'll tell you, I did a touch more reporting. I found out in the 6 months of what they call the thoughtful and thorough review, they didn't interview a single soldier, not even the soldiers whose cases they were reviewing.
What fascinates me is if we ever get, and Mark, pay attention on this one, if we ever get that promised interview with President Obama, you have my word on the air right now, I will bring up the issue.
That would be fantastic.
If I get my 25 minutes, he can take a minute or two since he sponsored the bill. But let's take some phone calls. Dave, calling from Sacramento, good morning.
This is unbelievable. I can't. It sounds like the Daniel Noriega government or some kind of Hugo Chavez government. I never would have thought this was going to be happening in the United States, but I know for a fact I have a couple of nephews who've been discharged from the military because of one was injured in Iraq and one was injured in just a regular line of duty, and they have been completely and totally jerked around. They haven't gotten any kind of benefits. They haven't gotten any kind of reimbursement from what they were promised they would get. So who do we contact? I mean, I think there should be a barrage, use the term loosely, a carpet bombing of angry people of the way people are being treated by their own government.
Well, I'm actually really glad you mentioned that because the public reaction to this has been one of the key parts to the story. In the wake of my reporting, a group of angry soldiers put together a Facebook page, Stop Personality Disorder Discharges for Our Wounded Soldiers. And the response there has been incredible. Within a day, it had 100 members. By the next day, it had quintupled. And Ron, I checked it today before coming into the studio. It's now over 3,200 members. Their plan is to keep growing and on Memorial Day to bombard the White House with phone calls and letters demanding the president once again take up this issue.
Joshua Coors, by the way, as investigative reporter for The Nation, trust me, it's too many awards to list, but let's put it this way. You're very responsible. 808-0810. Ron Owens, KGO.
KGO News Talk 810.
All I'm asking is for a little respect when you pass a little bit, baby.
Joshua Coors, Ron Owens, we are talking about personality disorder discharges and more. Just the way that people who serve this country are being treated, and a perfect lead into Memorial Day where hopefully something can be done about this. Let's go back to our phones. Bob, calling from San Francisco. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ron. And I'm sickened and absolutely ashamed to hear this story. I've never served in the military. My dad was in the Navy during World War II. But to hear the way that these soldiers are being treated in the 21st century, I just almost can't believe it. Because if they want to get people to join the military now, I can't understand why anybody in their right mind would join the military today if they found out that they would be treated this way at a time in their life when they need the government to help them as much as they do. And there really should be, number one, this should be plastered on the front of Time magazine so everybody knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
Two, a class action lawsuit. I know they're not easy to bring lawsuits against the government, but if ever there was a time that we needed one, is to help these people out.
I would tend to think class action at this point would probably be better just in terms of garnering attention to the issue, not necessarily getting the money. But, Josh?
Well, I can't really speak about the specifics right now, but I do know that legal route is in the works. And I should also say about the reasons these soldiers joined the military. For each of the soldiers, it's different. For Sergeant Chuck Luther, for example, the soldier who was held in that closet, he had a generation upon generation of soldiers in his family who'd serve proudly. He wanted to keep a family tradition. For others, it's a route to college. Everybody comes in with their own reasons.
Are there certain disorders that are treated differently? In other words, certain injuries you can say, okay, that was personality disorder. You would tend to think they would take the cheapest ones and not use them, but when you talk about somebody being blind and they turn around and say that was a pre-existing condition, it's tough to live with.
It is amazing, and it's not just blindness or deafness. I've seen fractured pelvises blamed on personality disorder. I think about specialist Bonnie Moore. They said her profuse vaginal bleeding was caused by personality disorder. She thought it was something a little more serious, went to a civilian hospital. They did too. They removed her uterus and appendix. But after she was removed from the military and denied benefits, she and her teenage daughter ended up homeless.
How do they define personality disorder?
Well, that's another slippery part of this. The diagnosis is personality disorder NOS, not otherwise specified. So with not otherwise...
Could be anything.
Could be just about anything.
Mel, calling from Hillsburg. Good morning and welcome to KGO.
Hi, good morning. My question is, are these various veterans organizations like Disabled American Veterans or Veterans of Foreign Wars, are they involved either in helping to get this thing solved, or are they part of the problem?
You know, I think some of the veterans are aware of this problem and others are not. I think about Paul Sullivan and Veterans for Common Sense. He's testified before Congress when this issue came up for congressional investigation. Paul Rykoff, the executive director of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. I have to tell you, this is how I first learned of that story. I was volunteering in New York for the veterans group. I was doing a series of soldier stories for their website, and the fifth in the series was Specialist John Town, who came to me and said he was struck by a rocket, so they diagnosed him with personality disorder. And I said, what?
I've got to believe the pressure on at each level has got to be just enormous, because how does a person in the military in a position of power who will then diagnose somebody with personality disorder, how does that person live with themselves? They have to be really pressured, I would presume.
Well, some of these doctors are facing a lot of guilt issues. The one doctor who was pressured to diagnose the leg injury, the missing chunk in the leg, as personality disorder, he decided to quit rather than go ahead and give that diagnosis. You know, go back to that other thing about the pool of injuries that they can draw from for personality disorder. I think everybody knows about the 5,300 who've died in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, and the Pentagon says 84,000 have been wounded. But that discounts a vast ocean of soldiers who are coming back with severe brain damage, traumatic brain injury. The RAND Corporation, a nonprofit organization that was tapped by the Pentagon to investigate this stuff, says that 430,000 soldiers are coming back from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars with traumatic brain injury. With an invisible injury like that, it's much easier to say, oh, you're just faking it. Oh, this is a pre-existing condition. Let's push you out the side door. Let's deny you benefits.
808-0810. This is just horrible to listen to, given that it's our own government. 808-0810, Joshua Kors, investigative reporter for The Nation's Personality Disorders. Amazing. Right. 1138 Ron Owens, KGO Radio. This is how the government is treating wounded veterans. In the studio, Joshua Kors, investigative reporter for The Nation. He covers military and veterans issues. Mark in Petaluma, welcome to KGO Radio.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thank you. Listen, I've never been so compelled to want to do something. I just feel so frustrated for these veterans. And who do you call? Who do you write to? What do I do?
Well, I think the best place to start is that Facebook page. I have to say, Ron, I'm not an advocate. I'm a reporter here. But I do get these calls. I think every time one of these articles comes out, I get flooded with two types of calls. One from people saying, we want to do something. And another from soldiers who say, my goodness, this happened to me. I didn't know anyone knew this was happening.
Is there any senator right now who would take this up on a crusade issue?
Well, I have to say Senator Bond is the person in the Senate who knows most about this.
I can't remember seeing anything from him. Now, maybe it's the lack of reporters' coverage, but I mean, honestly, I cannot think of any time. This is a forefront issue. I mean, especially on a Memorial Day weekend, this is something that should be front page.
Well, he was on the BBC last week talking about this, but
that's another country.
he is retiring. And so whether there's going to be a voice coming in, I know Bob Filner, the Democrat who chairs the House Veterans Affairs Committee, he was the one who called hearings about this in 2007. He's well aware of this. And I have to tell you, I was there for that hearing. I testified as well. And the drama in that room was extraordinary because they expected the military to step forward and say, no, this is not happening. When in fact, the military did step forward and said, yes, this is happening, and here are the statistics of the tens of thousands of soldiers we're doing this to. And when that happened, Filner simply exploded. He said, my goodness, he said that first panel of the soldiers talking about how this destroyed them and their families, that was shocking. But listening to you guys is even more shocking.
What is shocking to me is in the days that we're living in right now, the cable politics days, the fact that it's whatever sensationalistic is something that people want to grab onto and they present it. This, granted, it's more humanitarian, but this is sensationalistic. I cannot imagine why, for example, a Fox News hasn't jumped on this.
Well, you know, Bob Woodruff and I, the reporter from ABC News, he and I put together a piece for Nightline, part of a series that won the Peabody. But I don't think one piece, whether in print or on TV, is going to be enough to create the recognition. It's going to depend on listeners who go to that Facebook page, Stop Personality Disorder Discharges for Our Wounded Soldiers, tell their friends, tell their family, and work to stop these discharges. It's simply going to keep going.
I just visualize a Bill O'Reilly, for example, jumping on this.
It's hard to say. And, you know, this is really obviously a nonpartisan issue.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to see the best for these soldiers who are giving their health and their lives to protect us and serve the country. Right now, they're just not getting the respect that they deserve.
808-0810 is the number. We'll get back to our phones in a moment. Joshua Kors, Ron Owens, KGO. Ron Owens, KGO Radio, as we talk with Joshua Kors, these personality disorder discharges for things that obviously have nothing to do with personality whatsoever. The site, here's an easy way to do it. It'll simply be on our KGO Radio page, and I'm going to have it on our page, too. It's bit.ly/STOPPD, Stop Personality Disorder Discharges. Well, only one D, correct? Want to be sure. Okay. Richard is in Sacramento. Richard, good morning and welcome.
Thanks. I commend Mr. Kors for bringing this absurd practice to the attention of the American people. The military has been using this personality disorder excuse for discharging enlisted personnel for many, many years. In 1960, I was in New Mexico, and I worked in special actions of personnel. And all it took to discharge somebody at that time was for the base psychiatrist to issue a statement that they had a character and personality disorder, and they were gone that fast. They seem to have expanded that. As far as what they're doing right now, I would wonder how many of these combat veterans are officers.
Yeah, is there any pattern on that?
There really isn't. You think the higher you go up, the harder it would be to get rid of these guys, and it's just not the case. I've looked at specialists, I've looked at sergeants, and those even higher. But I'm really glad that it's been mentioned that this is a generational problem, because I've had soldiers call me from Vietnam saying they came back from a firefight with all kinds of physical problems. One told me that he'd been denied disability and medical care for 40 years, took my article into the local VA in Nevada, said, this is what happened to me. They gave him a fresh review and decided, yes, you are suffering from shell shock and traumatic brain injury. They started giving him benefits after 40 years of denying him.
Often when you enlist, you're promised other benefits, other incentives and the like. Does the military follow through on those?
Well, the benefits include long-term medical care.
Which obviously they don't.
And even, you know, if you're severely injured, that means your kids can get medical care as well. This is denial of those children as well.
Rick in Palo Alto, Joshua Kors, Ron Owens, KGO.
Yeah. Hey, when I was in the military, and my dad was involved with the high echelons of the military, everybody in the military, if you talk to psychiatrists, the career people are all alcoholics. And it's not a question of how much beer they drink. It's a question of how much booze. And I asked my dad about that, and he said, well, that's because they cover up all the things they do that are unethical.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Neither do I.
Okay, then we'll go to Stan. Stan in Santa Rosa, good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm a Vietnam vet, and I was involved in spraying Agent Orange. And for years, just recently, they said, well, yeah, you have COPD and emphysema, so now they've put in a claim for me. But for 40 years, they've denied it. So, and as far as I remember hearing stories about the Civil War people not being paid after. So it's like, what can we do?
What can you do?
That seems to be the question.
Well, it should be.
You asked before about who in Senate is still pressing for this. I think about Senator Bond and his recent actions after co-authoring that bill with President Obama. He gathered a group of senators together and wrote a letter to the president recently saying, look, you were our partner on this issue when you were in the Senate. We want you to continue with this fight. The president wrote back and said that he was still very concerned. But I think, as a lot of veterans know, concern doesn't always translate into action.
808-0810, the number, Joshua Kors, Ron Owens, KGO. KGO Radio, Joshua Kors, he's talking about the work that he has done, 3.5 years of research. This really is a scandal when it comes to veterans' benefits. We're talking military doctors purposely misdiagnosing soldiers who were wounded in Iraq and labeling them mentally ill just to deny them medical care and disability pay, beyond the conscience aspect that I mentioned to it. The savings, would this be in any way resolved if somehow the defense budget were raised, or would they simply spend it on other things and not direct it towards something like this? Is there a way to specify where the money would go if we raised more money for it?
It's hard to say. I think it's more than a financial issue. This is really part of the culture of the military. You know, I was here in San Francisco in 2008 to cover a lawsuit in federal court. A group of soldiers who were suing the VA for denying them care, and a lot of dirty internal documents came out, including a page from the VA manual, which was instructing doctors how to treat wounded soldiers. And the manual for the doctors said, don't trust the soldiers when they come in and report their illnesses, because some of the invisible injuries, like traumatic brain injury and PTSD, are very easy to fake. When you have that kind of culture, the cards are really stacked against the soldier, no matter how much money is out there for benefits. I think, most Americans don't even know about the proof system. Most Americans think that a soldier comes back wounded from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they get benefits and treatment
for
their
wounds. Seems like the logical thing to think.
But that's not the case at all. The first thing a soldier has to do when he comes back is prove that his wounds came from war. I think about Sergeant Juan Jimenez, who I covered in a recent article. He still had shrapnel embedded in his skin, yet there he was 3 years later fighting the military to prove that his wounds came from war.
It's like going to court and having to prove your innocence. Jerry in San Jose, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I was just wondering if when you sign up for the military and you have a doctor's report that says you don't have any disabilities, personality disorders, how would the then Army or the enlisted forces, how would they be able to say that you did? Because anything that became then a personality disorder would be because of where you were and what you were doing while serving in the military.
That's absolutely the case. There's an inherent contradiction in these fraudulent discharges. If a soldier really were severely mentally ill, he wouldn't have been allowed into the military in the first place. And yet I've looked at dozens and dozens of cases in the 3 years I've been reporting on this. All of these soldiers are screened and deemed perfectly healthy before they get in the military, screened again before being deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. It's only after they're wounded and come back that this pre-existing condition is discovered.
Email from Dennis in San Jose, who is a 100% service-connected disabled vet, and he says, I go to the hospital a lot, and it represents a bit of a discrepancy because there are like a dozen Iraq and Afghanistan vets who do have that 100% service-connected rating for psychological services. But you're not saying it's everyone. It's just that it's prevalent.
No, there's a mixed bag. And in fact, they have done some things to accommodate veterans. One of the new benefits given to soldiers of these two wars is 5 years of medical care. But once that's over, you know, you're toast if you don't have service-connected injuries.
5 years once you're out.
That's right.
Michael in Livermore, good morning. Welcome to KGO.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, I want to comment. I joined the military back in 1981, right? And what I know now, if I'd have known it then, there's no way in the world I'd have served in this military because I gave them 6 years of my life. Now, fortunate enough, we was not at war. But I'm considered a veteran, but I have no benefit whatsoever, no help or anything from the government. And I think it's just baloney.
There's a lot of cost to this war in wounds, in psychological wounds. I think that's something that needs to be recognized as well. When we think about the injuries, we're not just talking about physical injuries or the denial of care. The cost on the home front is amazing. Right now, 18 veterans are committing suicide every day. That's 6,000 veterans committing suicide every year. The death count here in America is a lot greater than that on the battlefields in Iraq and Afghanistan.
And another thought that just occurred to me, if you're labeled as having a personality disorder discharge, that must make it harder to get back into society, into the business world, trying to get a job. I mean, it's a negative reflection on you.
Absolutely. A lot of these soldiers describe it as a scarlet letter they just can't wash off. With this job economy, can you imagine going in for an interview with a piece of paper saying you're mentally ill? You're just not going to be chosen.
Let's see if we can do this in less than a minute. Joe in San Francisco, quickly.
I just wanted to say, you know, we have all these text messages for Haiti disasters and anything. Is there any way that we could put something together for our soldiers and pretty much do the same thing, try to help these guys out?
I think there are a lot of people out there who are really trying to help. You know, one of the people we were talking about off air is rock star Dave Matthews. He's been speaking about this scandal at all of his recent concerts, and the reaction's been extraordinary. In fact, it was Dave Matthews that helped spur those congressional hearings. He put a petition on his website asking fans to petition for hearings. Within a week, there were 23,000 signatures. People will take action. It's just a matter of learning about this disorder and scandal.
If you go to the KGO Radio website, or for that matter, my website, ron.com, you will have a URL that you can check into. It's bit.ly/STOPPD. Beyond that, joshuacores.com. But I'm very glad you were on. Thank you. Ron Owens, KGO San Francisco. Thanks for listening.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Obama.